from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Liquid sunshine is going on right now, Ursula, and I'm happy to see it. This is where Seattle gets to Seattling. You know what I mean? This is where I walked out this morning, and I got to ask this question, Ursula. How many of you walked out this morning and said, ooh, this is good for the grass?
Me.
See?
I have brand new grass, too, so you know, I'm really excited about this. I'm trying to find all the positives.
Yeah.
I was thinking, hey, we're getting closer to Thanksgiving,
right.
Christmas,
right.
The new year.
Yeah.
I'm already looking that far ahead.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Make sure that you text us on our state roofing text line. As you know, you are an important part of our show. 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. We are going to go through a whole gamut of emotions with the stories that we're going to cover today. But we're going to have some fun coming up at 947 because, gee, I have not been excited about a quote-unquote celebrity couple as I am about this one in particular.
Ooh-wee.
And I think there are a lot of people who know exactly what I'm talking about.
Ooh-wee.
A lot of people were suddenly watching the Kansas City Chiefs. That is the name of the team, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a lot of people paying attention to that game.
That was swift with your response. Hey, top stories of the day brought to you by Wayscar 40, Susu in Auburn.
And unfortunately, we have to start with a very tough story. A Seattle police officer is now on leave this morning after audio was released of him using racist and sexist slurs during a confrontation with his Chinese American neighbor. Okay, we have to bleep out a lot of this audio that was first published by The Stranger on Friday, but this incident actually happened in August of 2022 when Officer Burton Hill and his wife got into this argument after they accused their neighbor of leaving food scraps that could have hurt their dog.
You know, I respect you.
It's her.
You own here.
You
own
here.
And if you think, that's
here.
What I'm dumb, f-
The neighbor was the one who recorded this audio after Officer Hill knocked on her door at their Kenmore condo complex and started hurling the racist and sexist comments. It's important to note that he was not on duty at the time.
I don't own this place.
And although it is hard to actually understand that audio, the officer, I will just tell you, used one of the crudest words for referring to a woman. And also to an Asian person. He also repeatedly called her dumb and stupid. The neighbor only recently filed a complaint with Seattle's Office of Police Accountability. And Chief Adrian Diaz issued a statement on Friday saying that racist language is completely unacceptable and is inconsistent with the high standards that the department sets for its employees. And that statement came out as he was placed on leave.
The only thing that has changed is and has been technology. Technology is the reason that we are finding out that the stories that have been told for over nearly 100 years that, oh, by the way, they might be true. And here we are in 2023 where technology, oh, stop, by the way, I just realized I messed up. I said 2023. I want to go back to something. This happened in August of 2022. And we, you, Ursula, everyone, including the police chief, just so finds out now. Here is a quote from Chief Diaz. While I'm grateful the complaint was filed with OPA, not knowing about this for 1 year causes me concern. Causes you concern. This should cause everyone concern. This happened in August. I want to ask, maybe police sources, you guys want to help me understand, why does it take a year for this to come out? Why does the police chief just find out about something like this? This police officer that does this, Ursula, has continued to be a part of the force for a year. Now, there's probably someone listening, and they're probably thinking, you know, G and Ursula, over the last 2-3 weeks, You guys sure are talking about a lot of topics when it comes to SPD. You guys are sure talking about a lot of negative things that are happening when it comes to SPD. How about we talk about the good things? Because of topics like this, Ursula, 1 year it took to come out. I don't know the answers. I'm done with this topic.
Well, we're actually not going to be done because we have to bring up a few things.
No, I said I'm.
Yeah, we have to bring up a couple of things. One is it's not clear. And again, this was first reported by The Stranger, and we were all trying to get our own copies of the audio. This was on Friday. This was late on Friday. And the thing that's not clear is if this was only reported by the victim recently. And brought it because, as you know, I mean, the reason we've been talking about SPD a lot is because of the officer Daniel Otterer audio that also came out fairly recently. So was it because of that? And in this case, this officer who was off duty, I'm going to guess, didn't report himself. So it only came out recently. That may be one answer to that question. And I will give Chief Diaz credit in this particular case that he acted on it immediately upon hearing about it, which was not the case in the situation with Daniel Otterer. But you're exactly right, G. We can't talk about the great things. The Seattle Police Department, you know, coming out of that consent decree after doing all this stuff, we can't even talk about that because I think most people would be looking at this saying, what changed? How did it get better when we're hearing about this kind of thing, even with that much scrutiny involved? I mean, in this case, should it matter that he wasn't on duty? And that's a question that I have to people listening, too. Text us.
What do you think?
No.
Oh, okay.
He is a representative of the police department. I'm going to tell you right now, because someone else has said, well, did he sound like he was drunk? I don't care. I don't care. If it turns out he's drunk, you are still someone who wears a uniform, who wields an incredible amount of power. Right now, what is happening within our local Asian American community? They are being targeted. Mm-hmm. We have been talking about all these crimes that are happening in South Seattle and other parts of the city where Asian Americans, I mean, just recently, the Wing Luke Museum, where someone said, you know, the Chinese are making me miserable, whatever, something to that effect, and attacked the museum, and it took police a long time to respond. Mm-hmm. The feeling among many Asian Americans is that that there's no care there. So how does this even play with that? When you hear someone who is extremely racist, extremely sexist, and saying horrific things in a dispute.
I kind of wonder if, like, for the people that believe that because he was off duty that, you know, it shouldn't matter. So does that mean that when someone puts on their uniforms, all of a sudden they wouldn't say anything like that, or they wouldn't think that way, or they wouldn't have that in their hearts, right? And I just hope, and here's my hope, and this is what is starting to happen as you and I are talking about these stories for the last 2-3 weeks a lot. Now we wonder why the people, citizens, are like, what is going on with police culture? What is going on, especially right now, with our local law enforcement? Well, because right now, it seems like that there is just absolutely nothing happening. We're constantly hearing about it. Some of these officers will still stay on the payroll, and it's just business as usual until the next story, until the next big thing we talk about. And there's a good chance that we're talking about this now, we're most likely, most of us are going to forget about this in a week.
And I don't know that in this case, because we're talking about it, it's the same agency. So I reached out to a number of sources within SPD, and they're embarrassed. How does this help recruiting? It doesn't. This hurts recruiting. And on top of everything else, I actually one officer told me, I think that this person is not, I don't think that the union's even going to try to fight for this person's job.
And to which I always say, and I'm going to continue to say, there is no change that is going to happen with police culture until we can get people coming to the forefront. where law enforcement is clean and saying to everyone, we are not tolerating this, and this is what we think about that, and this is hurting recruiting, because there's always political speak when you're discussing law enforcement. This is why you have to get sources off the record. This is why police officers, when they want to sit there and say the things that's going on bad, they're never on the record. They're always off the record. So therefore, this culture will continue. And so don't get mad at me. It is what it is.
Okay, let's talk about what's going on around Western Washington, because there's another weekend of shootings, but we're only going to focus on one for this segment because of the bizarre details surrounding it. The Snohomish County Sheriff's Office is investigating a homicide that started with road rage and then ended with someone getting shot to death after he allegedly tried to steal a car. So this started with a 23-year-old man and a woman who were driving on 84th Street Northeast on Friday afternoon when the young man stopped his car and got out to confront the woman.
While he was confronting the female driver, she observed an adult male attempting to steal his vehicle. He then returned to his vehicle, confronted that man, and a physical altercation occurred.
Courtney O'Keefe with the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office says during that fight, the 41-year-old who was allegedly trying to carjack that vehicle was shot and killed. The younger driver has been cooperating with police, and so far, no one has been arrested.
Just hearing the details, I want to make sure I got this right. There was a couple that was in a car. It was in a road rage incident with a 23-year-old. The 23-year-old got out of the car to come and approach them.
Yes.
As he's approaching them, they're like, hey, I know you're mad at us, but buddy right there is trying to steal your car. And he says, be right back. And he goes to approach buddy trying to steal his car. Altercation happens. He shoots buddy in that situation. And then the other car is like,
I'm out.
We out of here. We'll give you the statements.
Yeah.
To which I'm going to say,
well, they're not giving the statements because detectives are asking for that female witness who is driving a gold Subaru to contact the sheriff's office.
My takeaway in this, Ursula, is something that you and I have talked about. Y'all, all you folks out here, you trying to steal cars? All y'all folks that's going out here doing these things, and we talk about stolen cars all the time, and people are tired of it.
Yeah.
They're really tired of it because they have this feeling. We played the audio of dude that took the car in the parking lot and was all that laughing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So y'all thieves better mess. You gonna mess around and find out. And that was what happened because there's no arrests so far.
Yes, there are no arrests so far. The other thing I would point out is this 23-year-old goes to confront this other driver, and then he runs back. Happens to have a gun in his car, and I'm not, you know, again, there are a lot of details that we have to, it's just one of those things, like, you know what, can we just calm down behind the wheel too? Again, not blaming victims, but I'm looking at this going, this is just a crazy story, just another day.
Okay, maybe you guys are going to think I'm waking up on the wrong side of the bed today. I don't really think that this is a crazy story. I think it was a road rage incident.
Well, I hate that there's road rage in the first place. So he goes to confront this other woman.
Yes.
Okay.
And then
she happens to see that his car is getting carjacked. He runs back, has a gun, kills the person. And again, I know people were like, well, that person had it coming to him. You know, another way to look at it too is don't get out of your dang car.
Well, I don't want to say that on the radio because I don't want anybody to record what I say and play it back. So I'm just going to just say this. Hey, thieves, stop trying to steal cars.
That's the first thing.
Stop trying to steal cars.
Yeah. I'm going to guess most of the people listening to aren't the thieves, but
right.
Yes.
Because people like me and you, you know, we're the one like, okay, Charlie, you want to steal our car? We're going to sit back.
Yeah.
There's some people out here that's not playing any games.
That's right.
You're going to mess around and find out.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. Okay, after a lackluster first half, the Seahawks dominated in the second, and they beat the Carolina Panthers 37-27.
On second down and goal now from the 5. Play fake. Geno's going to throw back in the end zone. Reaching up, making the catch. Is it a touchdown? It is a touchdown, Seahawks. We're still waiting. Yes! Touchdown, Seahawks! Jake Bobo!
Oh, okay. Geno Smith was having a good game. He racked up, what, nearly 300 passing yards? And then Kenneth Walker III ran for nearly 100. But I think the 12s were the big winners. I mean, how many penalties did they cause?
They caused a total of 9. 8 of them were false starts. The other one was an illegal procedure. I got to give love to the 12s. They lost their minds in that stadium. It was electric. And going back to game one, I told you guys, I'm like, man, it just seemed like they weren't.
Yeah. No, they made up for whatever they were lacking that game one. Boy, they were alive.
Yes, they were for sure alive. This next topic, wow. Question. This story came out. Ursula brought it to us. Do you guys believe that sometimes too much blame is put on crime victims? Well, we'll share that story and what that's about next. Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now, we have got to talk about what may be the biggest coupling that happened that was maybe revealed over the weekend that so many people are talking about on social media. I'm here for it. She's shaking his head.
No.
But we'll talk about that in about 15 minutes. But right now, we need to talk about what is happening in courthouses. As you know, in most courthouses, there are advocates for victims of crimes. They are trained experts who work with the victims and their families to help them navigate through the system, which can be complicated, especially when you are dealing with the pain and anguish of what you've experienced. So over the weekend, I read an op-ed in the Seattle Times that was written by a former King County advocate for victims. And she said that she finally had to quit her career after over a decade because she is just disgusted with how the criminal justice system actually treats the victims. She thinks that so much now is in favor of the perpetrators or the people who are committing the crimes. So her name is Tiffany Attrill, and she says, I couldn't do it anymore because of the shameful failings of the system, the politics, the blame shifting, the excuse making, the enabling, the anger and blame directed at victims and survivors, the blatant disregard and shockingly horrible treatment of crime victims got the better of me, and I gave notice. I left because I could no longer work in a system where victims' voices were being silenced and ignored in the legal system. So she talked about things like judges telling crime victims things such as, you should put yourself in the shoes of the defendant. He had a rough childhood, and victims like the status of being called a victim. I mean, those were direct quotes that she put in there. She also said that she would see family members and elected officials publicly plead for leniency on behalf of the criminals with statements like, you know, this was a really bad day for him, or this was him at his worst.
Like acid cursor?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Mm-mm. Exactly. Even when the defendant has multiple violent offenses, including a conviction for murder, he's here because the system failed him, or he's only 24 years old. Okay, we've heard that one. His brain is not fully developed. Right. I wanted to get your thoughts on
yeah,
this.
Yeah. First, I want to apologize to you and Chef. You sent it last night.
Yeah, I did.
And I read it right away.
Yeah.
I read the whole thing. And then this morning, I started getting too deep into it, and I got weird about it. I don't know why I did, because when you do that, you complicate it. So let me just be very simple about this. I agree with this lady. Period. And the greatest example of that is the Auburn barista, the attempted kidnapping. I just want to help you. Hear me out for a second. On video, this guy, I think his name is like Matthew Darnellsum, this guy goes and tries to kidnap a coffee barista, gets caught, has zip ties, bail set at $500,000. You mean to tell me this dude got and plead to a 50-day jail sentence? you if you listen right now, 50 days in jail. So
if that,
if this is the result of an attempted kidnapping, there's absolutely nothing in that article that you can disagree with, because we all have real stories in real time that are happening that support that.
Yes. Now, here's my question, though, because some of this, and she brought this up, and this is a whole op-ed that you need to read, because I'm only glancing over, you know, some of the things that were said.
Yeah.
But some of this is being done in the name of trying to make right of wrongs in the past. Like, you know, certain populations, certain segments of the population have been treated disproportionately, or basically a lot of this thing coming up since 2020 and George Floyd, and the idea that, hey, we need to pay attention to their history. Is there a chance, though, of overcorrecting again? I mean, because I think we're getting to the point where people are getting sick and tired. I just look at our text line from our last discussion where people are like, oh, I'm sick and tired of this.
Okay.
You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, I do. I talk about the past often, because the past is the reason why we are here today. You can't deny it when it comes to systemic racism in real estate and in all the different areas. But I want to be crystal clear on something. I don't care what happened in the past. There's nothing that justifies you from doing wrongdoing to someone else.
Bingo.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Like, Ursula, you walking down the street, I'm getting ready to go steal your purse and knock you down. Well, why'd you do that? Because my daddy lost his job back in the 80s. No.
Exactly.
No.
I actually think you are doing more harm.
No.
By trying to go over and beyond for the perpetrator, looking at that person's history. Mm-hmm. Why did that happen? This is not how he's defined. Blah, blah, blah. I think you are doing an injustice, and I think you are hurting any cause you are trying to correct.
But I want to just say this, the problem is, so yes, there is an overcorrection. So for example, let's talk about profiling, right? And the ways that law enforcement were disproportionately stopping black folks in cars. We all agree that it's wrong.
Yes.
No doubt about it. That does not mean that we want police officers to stop pulling over cars.
Correct.
That is the overcorrection. No, what me, mama and auntie in the neighborhood want you to do, we want you, law enforcement, that when you do pull over that car, don't pull over that car because that person was black. Pull over that car because that car did something wrong. No, I personally don't want cops to not be able to go after stolen vehicles, right? You steal a stolen vehicle in the neighborhood, hey, policeman, if you can go find them, please go find them.
Yes.
So that's where there is a problem.
Yes, exactly. Well said. Perfectly said. You and I are in agreement on this. But I read that and it was eye-opening. It was like, yeah, no, you're not doing anyone any favors by trying to shift the blame and make it suddenly like the perpetrator is the one who we need to feel sorry for. No.
No, not at all. Ursula, before we do get out of this, I know we're going to be very swift when we talk about our next topic. But I do want to show my guy Bill in Sammamish. Bill in Sammamish was like, hey, you guys spent 3 minutes talking about the Seahawks, and you didn't talk about the 70-20 butt whooping that the Denver Broncos got by the Miami Dolphins. To which I say, Bill, my bad, but we can only give a little bit of time on that sports stuff. Yes, it was exciting, it was cool, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the news. But there you go. That was for you, Bill and Sammamish. Coming up next, we need to talk. Ursula is infatuated with the potential of this new couple. I don't really know what to tell y'all about it. All I know is Ursula is losing her mind about it. That's all she's talking about.
And Ernie's about to lose his mind. Ernie and Ken said, please don't let Ursula talk about this couple.
All right,
I beg of you.
We do this next, Jean Ursula. You heard it. We need to talk, y'all. And I'm not going to even set this up.
Karma's not the boyfriend. Travis is the boyfriend.
Yeah. Thank you.
I got to let Ursula. Ursula, what's going on? What's happening?
Okay. I spent way too much time last night on social media looking at all the videos, all the people reacting, all the Swifties.
Yeah.
I think 95% so excited about the rumors that maybe were confirmed that Travis Kelce, the Kansas City Chiefs, he's a tight end, mm-hmm. yeah. So, and one of the most eligible bachelors in the NFL, and Taylor Swift are dating, or at least know each other's existence.
Right.
So this all started like back in July.
Sure.
When Travis Kelce mentioned that he was at Arrowhead Stadium watching her when she had one of her sold out concerts.
And he shot his shot on his podcast.
That's right. He shot his shot. He also had created some bracelets, and one bracelet had his phone number on it, but he was really upset because he wasn't able to give it to Taylor. So he wasn't able to meet her at that time. But then the rumor was that they met in New York, maybe went on a date or two. But yesterday it was Taylor Swift in the suite sitting next to Donna Kelce.
Mama.
Yeah, mama. And I mean, someone said, don't turn this show into Inside Edition. I'm not. But even the NFL, the NFL announcers were making Taylor Swift.
No doubt.
They were making Taylor Swift references when he scored the touchdown. And then one of the reporters asked Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs quarterback.
Right.
So he was asked whether he knew that Taylor Swift was going to be in the audience.
Friday, he was just like, yeah, I think she's coming to the game today. And then just moved about his business, to the game this weekend, and moved about his business. So you're kind of like, I guess that just happens, I guess. So I don't know. It's just Travis.
Okay, but then after the game, he was asked, did you kind of set it up so that Travis would actually score?
Do you realize how much pressure there was on you today from the Swifties to get Travis Kelce a touchdown with Taylor in the house today?
Yeah, I heard she was in the house.
Did you feel it? Did you feel the pressure, Patrick?
I felt a little bit of pressure. And so I knew I had to get it to Trav. And of course, it's on the route that Travis, he does his own thing and just makes up a route and I throw it to him. So I think he wanted to get in the end zone just as much as all the Swifties wanted him to.
Okay, I just feel like a proud mama looking at this, seeing this budding romance. I'm getting too invested in it, but I know I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just you need a little something. It's like out of a rom-com.
Before a chef just destroys this, because he's just waiting.
He is waiting.
Before you, two things I want to say. Number one, I love this idea of those two being a couple.
Yes.
And number two, the reason why Ursula is so fascinated by this is because there's the Kelce brothers, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The brother plays for Philadelphia. Travis obviously
Jason.
Plays for the
Chiefs.
The Chiefs. Mama
yes.
is there.
Donna.
They're mama's boys.
Yes.
Ursula has two sons.
Yes.
She did. This is so much
about mama's
of a,
boys.
so much a connection. So, Ursula, I get it.
Well, on top of that, Taylor Swift adores her mom. She has an incredibly strong relationship with her parents.
Right.
Her mom's at everything, you know. So to see them two together, to see Taylor truly look happy. So the word is that she got out. You know, she's had a horrible history with dudes.
Right.
Okay, let's just put it this way.
According to
artists,
her.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going in eyes wide open. It sounds like he made the first move.
Sure.
So, hey, if this works out, great. But I think if it does work out, if something happens, it's going to be one of those couples that everyone just gets really excited. Well, not everyone. I know that chef's about to
poop
on me.
Could they be the next, who's Faith Hill married to?
Tim McGraw.
Tim McGraw. Could
yes.
he be the next?
Yes.
All right, chef, I see you over there stewing. What's up?
You know what? Actually, I'm going to approach this from a perspective of curiosity, and I'm just going to ask, what is the obsession? Like, why do people invest so much emotionally in celebrity relationships? Because from my perspective, they seem largely like financial transactions. They're not generally real relationships. They last, you know, 9-10 news cycles, enough to spin an album out of, to get some PR and some buzz. Like, I don't even see them as real relationships. Why do people get so, like, mixed up in this emotionally?
Well, Think of what we talk about every single day. Think about right now we're smiling.
Uh-huh.
Think about what we talk about. Think about our mood when we were talking about our stories of the day.
Yep. So do you think
so it's an escape? It's an escape. And you know what? I'm looking at our text line. I might be alone in this.
All right. Here, before we get out of this segment, everybody has their chance. We'll go around the horn here, and you texters text in yes or no. Will Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift still be together Super Bowl time? Ursula?
Judging from her record, probably not.
Chef?
Only if the Chiefs are in it. And I'd also like to say, I believe Patrick Mahomes did help Travis Kelce score.
Nick?
I'll tell you this. If Russ is still with Sierra at this point, there's a good chance these two can at least make it to the Super Bowl.
There you go.
I want to be on record. I'm calling it right now. Yes, they're still together.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, they're still together.
I love it.
One of the things that y'all are forgetting about, Taylor Swift is the breadwinner, baby.
Okay. Jeremy in Fall City, thank you. The first one to come in.
425 says, who cares? You know what, guys? Come on. Do we really want to talk about crime and homelessness?
Well, we'll have more of that coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. How's that?
You know what?
We'll go right back to it.
Let's get back to that.
Sorry for my digression here.
Yeah. You guys want news? We're going to give you hard-hitting news coming up next at 10 o'clock.